going to come up and speak next. Pastor Dot, he has his wife and two children in Da Nang, Vietnam. And just a quick introduction of him is every once in a while I meet a pastor or fellow worker in the Every Nation family, and I just instantly connect and think, this is somebody I want to walk with, somebody I want to learn from and just bless and support. And he was that kind of person for me. He's quite a bit younger than I am. He even looks a lot younger than I am. But he is from, according to Pastor June Escosar, the first local minister, local church planter in Asia that got saved in Every Nation and then went on to plant a church in his home country. And he's planting churches and doing amazing work in Vietnam, a restricted access nation. So please welcome Pastor Dot Nguyen to the stage.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope and Kevin for inviting me here. It's such a privilege for me to be here in Taipei and in church here, our spiritual family. Thank you so much for welcoming me here today with all of you. This is my first time to be here in Taiwan. And I hope the next time I could bring my family to be here so I can tour them around, seeing the city and also this nation. It's just a nice place. Today I'm going to speak to you about Christmas. Merry Christmas. I have a picture of my family I want to show you. We've been married for 12 years. I look quite young. I am still young. When I have a date with my wife with the kids, there are always people thinking that we are just students in college. I'm not kidding. I have two boys. His name is, on my left, eldest, Nathan, and on my right is Lucas, 10 years old and 8 years old. And we have this is very different personalities of two boys. I will tell you the question. You may guess the personalities. I won't tell which the question was from which child. He always asks me, Daddy, Daddy, why don't people forgive each other? Because sometimes he makes mistakes in school. The other classmates didn't want to forgive him. So sometimes he asked me, Daddy, why people don't forgive each other? But the other child asked me this. It's a very classic question. When he was just 4 years old, I said, Daddy, why we have to thank God when we start to eat? I said, son, because God is the provider. We thank him for what he's providing to us, for our food in the table, for the house we stay in. He said, but Daddy, the money that we got is not from God, from the ATM machine. You remember that? What do you have to thank God for? So you may know their personalities, the difference. So we always come to God with questions sometimes. The longer you walk with God, the more questions you ask God. But sometimes, not all of your questions are answered by God. Beginning with every year, we only have a list of prayer requests. We pray and fast. We come to God. This is the new year. We believe in God for this. We believe in God for our family. We believe in God for blessing. We believe in God for financial breakthrough. We believe in God for many things. But at the end of the year, even by today, almost the end of the year, there's many prayer requests in your life, in your personal list. God has an answer. I can remember when I have my first child being born, it was an emergency case. My wife was in the emergency room to deliver the boy. I was outside that room, literally crying like a child. I said, God, what did happen to us? What this accident happened to us? The Bible said in book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, saying this, trust the God, the Lord with all your heart. Trust him with all your heart. Not lean on your understanding, but acknowledge him all of your ways. But Lord, sometimes I trust you with all my heart and I obey you. But what about my family, the healing of my loved ones? What about the broken relationship in my family, God? It hasn't been healed. What about my finance breakthrough? I've been praying to you, God. You say, trust me. Trust you. But you haven't answered the prayer. What about our personal issues? You need some transformation. You say, God, come into my life. Fix this. Make a difference into my life. You say in your word, God, trust me. And you say in your word, God, that I have a great plan for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. But what about my life? Sometimes our faith is shaken, right? And then it leads you to uncertainty in life. Not all of your questions and answers. But God said, trust me. I want you to introduce the very popular character in the Bible you always remember. It's Christmas. That's Mary. If you have the Bible, open with me to the book of Luke. Mary was in trouble at that time. In the book of Luke chapter 1. Remember when the angel met Mary? And he said that he's greeting her. Here's the verse 28. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." She was in trouble. She was worried what's going on that the angel came to greet her with this. And the Bible says this. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be? This is impossible, God. How can I be as a virgin to give birth to a son? This is impossible." I could imagine that Mary at that moment, she was uncertain with her life, what's going on next. Because what people might think about her, being a virgin, not yet married to anyone, but she's going to give a son. And how could that be impossible that I am a virgin, that I'm going to give a son? That is impossible. She was so confused. You know, sometimes in our life, we are confused when we believe in God for things. Because we are uncertain what's going on next in our life. But God has a plan. I want to tell you this. God has a plan for each and every one of us. You may not know what's going on next in your life, but God has a plan. And for Mary, God has a plan. But at this point, Mary surrendered, said, "God, let it be so." Verse 38, Mary said to the angel, "How would it be? For I am a virgin." And then he said, "Behold," verse 38, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be me according to your word." Let it be so, God. Because I'm so confused. I don't know what's going to happen because I'm just a virgin. It's just impossible in my understanding. You know what, sometimes? If you could understand the plan of God for your life, God could not be God anymore. Sometimes his plan goes beyond your comprehension. Sometimes I couldn't explain why today I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to work outside. God always has some plans for our life. And sometimes those plans is a surprise to us. But Mary didn't know that God has a plan. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, this is the Bible, says chapter 1, verse 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet." Mary did not know that God has a plan long before and fulfilling the plan that God has for her and for the humankind. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You know what? Sometime in our life, you may not have all the answers, but you have honored him. For me, that is enough for Christmas to celebrate. Sometimes you say, "God, I trust you." But your prayer requests are not yet answered. But this Christmas, I have all of you with me. You know, go back to more than 700 years before Jesus was born in the book of Isaiah. That was the time of Isaiah called the time of darkness. And the country was threatened by other bigger countries with, you know, great armies. And the country was in trouble during that time. And Isaiah pointed to the knot of hope and said, a son, a child was born, but a son was given. And that son will be the hope for the nation, for the people. We may not have all the answers, but we have all of him in our life. For me, it's amazing for this Christmas that we can celebrate knowing that God is with us. Many of your questions are not yet answered, but God is with us. You know what? God has a plan for all of us. And I know for those who love God, and I know all of you here love God. And the Bible said, for those who love him, all things work for the good. You know what? All things work for the good because that plan is very inclusive. Not some things of work you are going through right now is an accident, but includes in God's plan. Not just one thing, but everything working for the good. God has a plan, and his plan is good for all of us. And I know that God is with us. We can trust him. We can trust on our heart that God is for us. And I remember back when I was praying during one of the night at midnight. I've been serving God for 10 years in the ministry in Ho Chi Minh City. Some of you know my story. And at midnight, I woke up and I told my wife, honey, I couldn't sleep because this is not a dream, but it's something that God impressed in my heart. I want to tell you. I was thinking after telling her, she's going to say, that is crazy, just go back to sleep. Because it's 2 a.m. in the morning. And I did not have that kind of dream before. Something prophetic. That's not me. I said, honey, I felt like we're going to go plant a church. After 10 years here, I think that's a new season. We're going to move on to plant a church. She asked, okay, so where? And I was guessing by that time, I would say the city. She's going to say, that is crazy. Okay, I said, Da Nang. I said, because you may know the story of Da Nang. It's one of the characteristic city in Vietnam. Okay, later on I will tell you the story why. She said, I thought that she would say, that is crazy. No, that's not God's will. That's not God's plan. God didn't speak to me. But you know what? When I said that, she said, you know what, honey? I've been praying for this. I'm just waiting for the right moment that God could speak to my husband, not just me speaking to my husband. Let's go, honey. After hearing that from her, we make the decision. We talked to the pastor. A few months after that, we went to scout the land in that city. And we went, after a few months, we went to see the city, scout the land, make a prayer walk. We tried to talk to different pastors from different churches, getting to know the city, about the atmosphere of the city and how hard it is for the city. You know what? Interestingly, all of the pastors that we met, they all discouraged us to go and plant a church in that city. They said, this city will not welcome Christians. You know what? They even said to me a testimony that there's a one biggest church. They've been reaching out for around 30 people. And after the police found out, the church was kicked out of the city. And that is the record of the biggest church on the route was allowed until that moment. And they said to me, don't come here to plant a church. You can go somewhere else. Don't choose Da Nang because that's going to be very challenging for you. All right? Hearing that, we continue to move on to look for the place, look at the house, the project, the renting, and the school. We saw the school, the private school. Financially speaking, the school, the fee is so high for us. I remember my wife, and after talking to the staff in the school, we went walk out of the gate at the campus. For we just lay hands now on the gate of the campus and say, God, I pray that you provide so that our kids could enroll in this school. We went home. We talked to my parents, her parents. My parents said, why you go there? For what? You settled down in Ho Chi Minh City. And her parents, even more aggressive, just like Thomas talking to Andrew, what is good in Nazareth, you remember? Her father said, there's nothing good in that city. Why you go there? With all of the discouragements that we receive, that not to come to plant a church, financially, we are not yet ready to go there. All of the leaders from other denominations said, don't go there. The government even one time make a stand saying, we welcome NGOs to come here, but we don't welcome Christians to come here. That's the mayor of that city once made that statement. But long story short, we still make a decision. We went for Just Plant. That was 5 years ago. Because one thing we know, all the answers we could not find. All of the questions, we say, God, how can it be? How can we evangelize? How can we deal with this persecution? All those questions that we have, we make a decision. When God is with us, we can go. Because God is with us. We can trust him with our hearts. And the Bible says, trust him with all of your hearts. Not lean on your understanding. And he will make your path straight. After 5 years, I thank God that we make the decision to obey him. And God has been working through our lives, through our ministry there. We could be able to raise up leaders and plant in another church, a city nearby, as hard as also the church that we are having right now. We face persecution, just like China. Hearing story from you. That's one of our meetings. Around 20 police came into one of our meetings with guns. Just like one of our church members described, that was just the action movie, because they with guns, they broke in the house without knocking the door. They tried to search all of the place. The neighborhoods was on surrounding the community, surrounding the house where we're meeting. They were thinking there's some kind of crime going on in that house. But we could be able to talk through with the police. They could be able to, and then they let us move on. But God is with us. I continue with the book of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child was born, a son is given to us. And the Bible says, upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because God is with us as a gift, we can be able to celebrate. And you know what? Every name in the Bible has a purpose and has a meaning and has a function. I don't know by now that you have names for your kids. Do you have a purpose in that, believing God for that child that you have? But in the Bible, every name has a purpose. And Jesus' name is called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I believe that he is an extraordinary counselor or strategist. And he's the power as a mighty God. He could be able to carry out his plan, his power to make his strategy come to pass. And because he's an everlasting father, it means he's the king, has the power. He should be able to provide. He could be able to protect and care for his people forever. And by that, we have peace. It's because he's the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you this. This Christmas, you can come to celebrate with your family, with your loved ones in your community, knowing that God is the Prince of Peace into your heart. And that's for me, it's the best gift that you can ever receive for this Christmas. He is the Prince of Peace. And you know, I read the story recently about a group of people digging the tunnel. And so suddenly there was the fall of the earth blocked the opening of the mouth, the opening, and the people were stuck inside the tunnel. So some people outside, their co-workers were trying to break in to rescue the the people inside. So finally, they could be able to break in to do the rescue. And to the rescuer's surprise, the people inside went on digging the tunnel. So the rescuers asked, "Were you not scared?" The people inside said this, "I know you're going to come and rescue us. We have peace, so we just go on digging the tunnel." And I hope that as Christians, even though we have questions and answers in our life, even though we've gone through some tough time in your life at this season, knowing that God is a God of peace for you, and God could give you the internal peace. You know what? Peace is the greatest desire that people are looking for in this planet. And I'm telling you, the world could not give people, as you and me, the internal peace. The values of the materials that you accomplished could not give you that peace. The peace is not when the kids are at going to sleep. The peace is not like the peace is the absence of war. The peace is that God is the author of peace, giving you and me the internal peace. But today, I stand with you. Back to my story, my kids. I have two children. Each of them been through a tough time. My first son, that is emergency case because of an accident. And my second son, before he was born, we found out there's water stuck in the kidney. He could not, the body could not function normally. But we trust God, that God is with us. And we believe in God. And you know what? Until now, my second, first child is okay. He's handsome, much more handsome than I am. My second child, after we tried so many tests, and even the doctors wanted to have operation when he was just 1 or 2 years old. And we went to search for second opinions from different doctors from different countries. And we decided to trust God, not let our son be operated. But after a few years, by he was 5 years old, we went back to check to ultrasound his body, his kidney. All is gone. Completely healed. And last year, when we do the checkup again with the doctor, we didn't tell the doctor what happened to him when he was born with the water stuck in the kidney. We just went to the doctor, telling the doctor to take an ultrasound, just a body check. And the doctor said, "Everything's okay." My wife told the doctor, "That's the history of my son, the water stuck in the kidney when he was born." The doctor was so shocked and said, "How could that be? It's impossible. I haven't seen anything. He was just normal." I'm telling you, question and an answer sometime in our lives. Question and answer into your workplace, in your family, in your personal life. But one thing I'm sure that God is with us, and God has a great plan. God has a great plan, and God gives each one of us peace. And I want you to understand that when God is with you, everything's going to be fine. Everything going to be fine. And the peace of God is always with us. That is the eternal peace. And the peace that the world could not give, but God given to us. You may not have all the question and answer, but you have all of him for this Christmas. For many of you, probably you know church, you come to church, but maybe you never surrendered your life to God. Let me tell you this. Or maybe your loved ones, you've been praying for them. He is the Prince of Peace. And he brings peace between God and the sinners. Jesus Christ came on earth with one mission, to die on the cross, to satisfy the justice of God, the almighty wrath of God. When he was hung on that cross, the Bible says, he said, "It is finished." He drank the wrath of God to the last drop. And the Bible says, "It is finished," means it is finished. Our sins are forgiven. The peace of God could come in so that today you and I could stand before God. Say, "God, you are well pleased with me because what Jesus has done on that cross." I want to close to encourage you this. For this Christmas, You may have time for the family. You have vacation, traveling everywhere. You have great holidays from work. Could it be great if you spend some time alone with God? If you like writing, just writing down, or maybe just a short a time in your private room, pray to God that, God, I need the peace from you. Or maybe you just write some verses that you believe that God is speaking to you. Maybe this Christmas, you have people as gift. You want to give to people as some Christmas gift. Maybe you just send a message to them that the best gift for Christmas is the peace of Christ with them. Or maybe you have some broken relationship with people. You need to say, God, I want that relationship to be reconciled. You can spend a dinner or a coffee time with them and share the love of Christ. Because when you have Christ, you have the peace. Or maybe this Christmas, this is a mission for us. That not many people out there, they never heard of the gospel the first time in their life. They not even know the meaning of Christmas, just like me back then years ago. I never understood the meaning of Christmas. I thought all about Santa Claus. But until I came to know that Christ died on the cross, he came to rescue me from my sins. That could be the best gift that you could give to people who never know Christ this Christmas. Just you can share a message of hope to them, a message of peace to them, a message of love to the people around you. And I'm sure they will be blessed. May I just pray a prayer blessing to you at this Christmas. Father God, we thank you for this time together, God. And I know that, God, there's still question and answer in our lives at this stage, at this moment. We trust that you are with us and you give us peace. And that is enough for this season that we can celebrate, Father God. We have you. I pray for anyone, God, at this time who are praying for peace. I want to pray this prayer that I ask God to come into your heart because he has peace. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hands and say, God, I want peace in my heart right now because you are the Prince of Peace. I have to pray for you. Yes, God, I see hands raising. Lord God, I pray for those hands raising right now. For this time of Christmas, God, I pray you make a difference than all the Christmas season. The best time and the best reason to celebrate us is to have you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And bless the people here with your peace this morning. If people here that you never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior for the first time, if you want to accept him as a Lord and Savior and say, I want him in my heart as the Prince of Peace, accept him, ask for forgiveness of sins. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you as well. Lord God, I pray for this time together that we, as we come into your presence to worship you, Father God, and you just, it's just a reminder for us the reason that we celebrate Christmas because of Jesus Christ giving to us as the best gift. And you are the King for Christmas this season. I bless the people here, our church members here, Father God, with a blessing from you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you, Pastor Dot. We're going to have one final song of worship. So I encourage everyone to stand together. And then after we sing this song, we're going to have a time of ministry. And so at that time, we'll ask our prayer ministers to come up to the front or the side. And if you would like to receive prayer, and if you receive something from the Lord today, from the message from our two guest speakers, please receive prayer. Don't be shy about going to receive prayer and speaking with one of our prayer counselors.
For I spoke a word, you were singing over.
I was just kind of standing there worshiping. I felt like God was asking me the question, what is in your hand? You know how God asked Moses that question when God was sending Moses back to Egypt, and Moses is like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. And God said, what's in your hand? And it was a staff. I feel like God is asking that question to each of us. Like Pastor Dot said, each of us has a purpose. Jesus came with the greatest purpose. For unto us a son is born. I mean, he was the only religious leader in the world whose birth was foretold. And it was the prophecy being fulfilled one after another after another. Jesus' entire life was a fulfillment of the prophetic word. But what about us? You know, God has spoken a word to you. God has spoken promises to you. And he has given you a purpose. He has called you. Like my friend Elsie was saying, God called him to be a tent maker, to be missional in a restricted access nation. And I want you to not be overwhelmed by the opposition, by the discouragement that comes your way, but just ask God, what is in my hand, God? And let me use it to the best of my ability to glorify you and to just consecrate our hearts and our lives before him. And so I want to just close in prayer, but also, like I said, if you would like to receive prayer, please come on up and to the side or the front. And if there's something that you're believing for, I don't know, I was really encouraged when Pastor Dot said in his church there are more men than women. I was instantly thinking, hey, we should do like a matchmaking kind of relationship or something to, you know, like if there's something like that that you're believing for, because Jalen and I first met in December, and we had almost like a supernatural kind of meeting, and I just want to pray that for some of you guys who are single. Whatever it is, a big dream, big vision that you're believing for from God, let's not limit God. Let's have faith that he will provide and he will answer. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good God. You're a God who came to this world to be with us. Joseph and Mary had to travel about 130 kilometers to Bethlehem to give birth to Jesus. But Jesus, you came from trillions of light years away. I don't even know how you could quantify the magnitude of the distance that Jesus traveled to come into this world to be with us. So we thank you for your presence. Emmanuel, you want to be with us in our pain. You want to be with us in our confusion, in our uncertainty, because you have a plan for us. Because you will give us the purpose and the calling to reveal the destiny of great glory you have for us. So I pray a blessing upon our congregation. I pray that the word spoken today would be sealed in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would dare to dream big dreams and pray bold prayers, because you are a God who delights in our faith and you delight to reward your children and to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so you're dismissed to go to our fellowship hall. Or if you would like to receive prayer, please come on up to one of our prayer counselors.